All right. Well, my name's Jory Petiti, and that's my wife. Do you want to go ahead and stand, even though you just played? And so you can show our little baby there. That's Brooke. She's 8 months. Tomorrow she'll be 8 months old. And she sure is a blessing. She's the only reason we get any support, so praise the Lord for her. I grew up in Moab, Utah, and I'll just share a little bit about my testimony. And my older brother and best friend, they ended up getting saved, and were trying to get me to go to church. And I didn't mention this in the morning. And one day I was walking to my friend's house, and I think it was because they kept inviting me to church and trying to, you know, talk to me about the Bible and whatnot. One day I was walking to my friend's house, and I just got mad at God. Okay, this is an atheist getting mad at God, all right? Atheists don't believe in God, so this doesn't make sense already. And I started yelling at God. That's not a good idea. But what I did is I told him, you could never make me go to church, and you could never make me become a Christian. And I think it was about 2 months after that I went to church for the first time, and I'm a Christian today. And so don't say things like that to God, because he'll take you seriously and take that challenge seriously. And so I ended up getting saved, and the Lord changed all my desires, and I felt the Lord leading me to go into ministry, full-time ministry. And here's another thing I did. I told the Lord, I'll go anywhere, just don't send me to Utah. And I just haven't learned my lesson, I guess, because I'm going to Utah to start a church. We're going to Springville, Utah. That's about an hour south of Salt Lake, or if you know where Provo is, it just borders the southern portion of Provo. So that's where Springville is. There's about 36,000 people there, about 650 in that Utah county right there. What's Wyoming's population?
Less than that.
Less than that. Okay. Yeah, and it's got an 86% LDS population, 12% non-religious population there in Springville. So that's 98% that's either LDS or non-religious, and then you still got Catholics and all those others under there. So it's just a very needy area, a place that really needs a gospel witness. And my wife and I, we just have that desire to go there and just serve there as long as the Lord would have us to evangelize and outreach as much as possible. We love doing that, and to disciple these people for Christ, and hopefully see a church not only get started but become self-sustaining there. And so we have that desire, and so that's just a short little introduction of what we're doing. So if you could grab a prayer card for us, that'd be wonderful, so you could remember to pray for us. Put it on your fridge or your table or something, and just so you could see it, and pray for us. That would mean the world to us. We have these on our display table in the back. And then we also have a prayer letter sign-up sheet on our display table back there. And what that is, an email we send out once a month that describes what we've been doing, what we're about to do, as well as some prayer requests that we have. And so if you go and put your email on that, you will receive updates about us every month. And that'll just better help you to be able to pray for us. And so we really covet your prayers as we go there, because we need the Lord to remove the blind from their eyes and to soften those hard hearts. And so we really need the Lord to do that. So if you could be praying for us, that would mean the world to us. And then also, if you have any questions about anything, what we're doing, where we're going, we would love to talk to you after the service, where we will have more time. We love talking about it all. We love sharing about Springville and Utah and all that. So talk to us after the service, and we would love to talk with you about whatever you have. Okay, well, let's go ahead and take our Bibles and go to the book of Philippians chapter 3, the book of Philippians chapter 3. And as you're turning there, I'll just mention a couple other things. We're seeking to raise $5,500 a month, and we're hoping to get there this September. We started last April, and we're hoping to get there this September. And so we're almost there. I'm chomping at the bit. I'm ready to just get there and just start witnessing and inviting people to church. So we're raising $5,500, and so be praying for us in that as we continue to go to many other meetings. Okay, Philippians chapter 3. We're going to go ahead and just read two verses this morning, verses 13 through 14. Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 through 14. The Word of God says, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." Let's pray. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for all these people who have come to church this morning. Father, we pray you'd bless them for that. Pray that this would not just be a wasted time, but may we all grow. May I grow. May I learn from your word. May I seek to apply it to my life. May we all seek to do that. Lord, we just pray that you would be glorified in this service. The music and everything that's gone on already has just been wonderful. Lord, and we pray that it continue. We pray that if there's someone here today who doesn't know Christ as their Savior, that they would get saved. And if there's a believer here who needs to work on some things mentioned today, Lord, pray that we would work on those things. But Father, we just pray for your blessing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Years ago when I finished high school, I went to Snow College in Ephraim, Utah. I went there for architecture and carpentry. I wanted to design and build my own houses. And I also had the desire to go there and get a four-year degree in 3 years. And so in order to make that happen, basically you have to take extra credits each semester. And so my first semester at Snow College, I took 21 or 23, something like that, 23 credits that first semester. Well, which is quite, you know, a bit more than the average. I think the average is about 17 or something like that. Now, it's definitely a doable thing. It's not impossible to take. Many people do it. But the thing that made it extra hard, I guess, for me was my past. As I already mentioned, I grew up atheist. I didn't grow up as a very good kid. And one area where I was not a very good kid at was in school. I cheated all throughout school, okay? Especially in English class. Whenever we had like a book report, I would just read the back of the book, ask someone what the book's about, look it up online, read a little bit from each chapter, you know, something like that. And you'd get a basic idea, write a book report, and get a C if you're lucky, or a D, and call it good. Okay? So that was my life pretty much growing up. And so when I got to college, I had never read an entire book in my life. Can you believe that? Here I am in college, and I've never read an entire book. I've read portions of books, never an entire book. And so about halfway through the semester came, I realized I'm in some trouble. The schoolwork's starting to pile up on me. I'm starting to get behind. I'm already feel like I'm sleep deprived, and you know, all I do is basically study in the library or in my dorm room, and so I have no life. And I realized I need to make a decision. One, I could start cheating again. But at this time, I was now trying to live for the Lord. I got saved halfway through high school. Around the end of my senior year, I really started to try and live for the Lord. So by the time I come to college, you know, I'm trying to do what's right. And so to start cheating really wasn't an option any longer. I couldn't do it. So I threw that option out the door. I could fail some classes. I could drop out of some classes, get really bad grades. That was another option. Well, I was now trying to witness to my friends there at that college, and you know, they're all getting great grades, A's, and it didn't seem like the best option for the only Christian here to be getting the worst grades, to be getting failing grades, to be dropping out of classes. And so I decided that's probably not the best option either. And so the only other option really that I had was to just keep pressing forward, to realize it's only half a semester more. I'm probably not going to enjoy it. I probably won't get the sleep that I would want to have, but it'll be worth it. And so I decided I'm just going to keep pressing forward. And you know, in our Christian life, there's going to be a lot of events. There's going to be a lot of things that go on. It's not going to just always be easy. And when life gets busy, when life gets difficult, I don't think that we as believers have the option to just quit on the things of God. Okay, this right here is the Word of God. And this is God's will for our life. And, you know, there's a lot of things in here that God wants us to do. When life gets busy, when a family member dies, when someone close that we know dies, when difficult times come, I don't think we have the option to say, you know what, today's rough, I'm just not going to pray today. You know, life's busy, I don't think I'm just going to take a week off from reading the Word of God. Yeah, you know what, some bad things happen in my life, I'm just not going to share the gospel today if an opportunity comes up. I don't think that we really have the option to just quit on what we know God wants us to do just because of the outward circumstances, just because life gets busy or life gets difficult. C.E. McCartney said this, "Between an airplane and every other form of locomotion and transportation, there is one great contrast. You see the horse, the wagon, the automobile, the bicycle, the locomotive, the speedboat, and the great battleship all can come to a standstill without danger and they can all reverse their engines or their power and go back. But you see, there's no reverse about the engine of an airplane. It cannot back up. It dare not stand still. If it loses its momentum and forward drives, then it crashes. The only safe direction for the airplane to take is forward and upward. And likewise for the Christian, the only safe direction for the Christian to take is forward and upward. It's never a good place for a Christian to become idle, where the Christian is no longer growing, the Christian is no longer learning from the Word of God, a Christian is no longer serving. That's a bad place to be for a Christian, to be idle. We also know it's a very bad place for a Christian to be backsliding, to be going downhill. The only safe direction for the Christian to take is forward and upward. Forward and upward for Christ. Today I want to preach a message called Pressing Forward. And really this is a message I wish I could preach to a lot of the churches and just believers in Utah. Since I've been saved, I've just seen a lot of quitting in Utah. I see a lot of believers, Christians, that grow up there and they just can't wait to get out of Utah. I see a lot of missionaries and church planters that have come and leave after 2 or 3 years. Come and go. And it just seems like no one really has wanted to stick it out there, but for a few of them. And it just seems like I've seen a lot of churches closing their door. I mentioned this during Sunday school, but my pastor, he's always kept me up to date with the events of Utah, a church starting up or a church closing down. And it's just been heartbreaking since I've been saved, which is about 12 or 13 years now. How many times my pastor's told me, well, this church closed its doors. Well, this church merged with this church, or this church no longer preaches the truth, and things like that. And basically, I've just seen a lot of quitting. And really, it's not just a thing that I've seen in Utah, everywhere. There's churches closing their doors all across this country. There's pastors falling into sin everywhere, where there's Christians nonstop going off to college and falling away from the Lord. Young people going off to college and falling away. And I just see a culture where it's just been so easy to quit. Can I just encourage you to just keep pressing forward for Christ? That when the difficulties come, when the hardships come, when busyness comes, that we don't forsake Christ. That we don't put Him and the things He wants us to do aside, but we just keep pressing forward for Him. Can I encourage you to do that? So my question for you is, are you pressing forward today? Are you growing in the Lord? Are you ever learning His Word? And are you pressing toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus? Are you doing that today? I believe that in order to press forward, we need to resolve to have these three mindsets. And the first one is a humble mindset. Would you look with me at verse 13? It says, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended." Does anyone know who wrote this book, Philippians? Paul. Okay, Paul's the one here saying, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended." Now remember, Paul is the one who, he had done a lot for the Lord. He received revelation from God. He taught a lot of people. A lot of the New Testament epistles that we have are from him. He's the one that taught a lot of these churches. And so Paul knew a lot. Paul was a very, I guess you could say in a sense, a spiritual man. And yet we find Paul saying, "Brethren, I count not myself, not even myself, to have apprehended, to have arrived, to have come to a place spiritually where, I don't need to grow anymore. I don't need to learn anymore. I've not come to that place." Paul says, "I count not myself to have apprehended." Years ago when I was at my college, they had a camping ministry team. Basically what that was is we would, in the summer, go to all these different camps and we would preach and teach and counsel and things like that. And we went to this camp in Montana. And this camp wanted us to take the kids to the peak of a mountain. Now, I don't know if you've ever been to a peak of a mountain. I had never been to one. I always thought it'd be sharp when you get on top. It's not, okay? It's not sharp like that. It looks like that from far away, but it's not. So when we got to the top, it was quite flat. And so you could, when we walked to the north side of this, the peak of this mountain, we were higher than anything around us. You could see as far as the eye could possibly see. It was higher than anything. You could go to any side of that mountain and you could look out and you're higher than everything. And as silly as it sounds, when we decide to get off that mountain to get back to camp, we can't go forward to get off that peak. We can't go up to get off that peak. There's only one way to go when you've reached the peak, and that is down. And likewise, in the Christian life, when we think we've reached the peak, we no longer need to learn, we no longer need to grow, there's only one way for us to go. Our pride is going to take us down. Okay. Now, a Christian can never come to a place in their life where, you know, they've learned all that they could learn from the Word of God. They don't need to learn anymore. No, a Christian can never come to that place. A Christian can never come to a place where they no longer need to grow anymore. Okay, but sometimes we get that mindset. I know I've caught myself with that mindset many times. I wake up in the morning and I know I ought to read the Word of God, so I just read right through it. I don't read it to try and learn. Sometimes I've come to this book, Philippians, and I don't know how many times I've read this book. I don't know how many classes I've taken on it, probably 2 or 3 classes on the book of Philippians specifically. I've memorized verses in this book, and certainly there's probably been times where I've come to it and I just skimmed right through it. Oh, I know what this chapter is going to say. Oh, I know what this verse is going to say. And because I already know so much about it, I don't apply myself. I don't try hard enough to learn more from it. That's a proud mindset to have. Every time we come to the Word of God, every time I come to the book of Philippians, there's certainly much, much more I can get from it. There's certainly much more I can learn from it. There's still more for me to learn. Oftentimes, you know, we can get this mindset where, oh, we don't need to, you know, grow anymore, though you might never admit that. You know, you wake up and, you know, and you start your day and you never think, how can I grow today? How can I be a better believer, a better son to my Father in heaven? How can I do better today? We just go through our life never seeking to grow. Well, you know, that's a very dangerous mindset to have. It's a proud mindset. Years ago when I was at my Bible college, I remember my teacher making a statement, and I always remembered it. He said, the majority of the students at this college who end up getting kicked out because of false doctrine are the intellectuals, the ones that they always want to answer all the questions in class. You know, they want to show everyone how smart they are. They want to use the biggest words possible. Oftentimes when they pray, at our school, we would have a student pray before lunch. And, you know, we're all starving to death. And sometimes this guy, he's just praying on and on and on, using the biggest words possible. It looks like he's about to start crying. And it's like, please just pray for the food so I can eat, you know. And it just seemed like there's some of these people, they always wanted to show everyone how smart they were or how spiritual they were. And so I made a note when my professor said this. And I, whether this was right or wrong for me to do, I jotted down some people that I thought kind of fit the bill. And sure enough, no joke, every single one of those people got kicked out of that school for false doctrine, for believing in covenant theology and Calvinism and all that. And I started to wonder why. Why is that the case? Why does that happen so often to the intellectual? Well, it's probably because they are so smart, but it's to their detriment. They don't trust God to teach them the Word of God. They're so smart, they think that they can do it themselves. They rely upon themselves way too much to teach them the Word of God. But, you know, this is God's Word right here. Okay, this isn't ours. And if we're going to understand it, we're going to need God to teach us it. I want to read you a verse in 1 Corinthians. You don't have to turn there. Chapter 2. It says this in verse 10. Sorry, that's 2 Corinthians. Chapter 2, verse 11. It says, for what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. I don't know if this is a newlywed problem, but there's been many times where my wife has made a statement, and I said, oh, this is what you mean by that. She's like, no, that's not what I meant. This is what I mean. And I actually correct her. I tell her, well, this is exactly what this phrase means. When you say this, this means this. And she says, okay, that might be what it typically means, but that's not what I meant by it. And as much as I want to try and argue with her what she meant by what she said, really the only person who can tell me what she meant by anything she said is herself, right? She's the one that says it. She knows the interpretation or the meaning behind it. And likewise, this is God's Word, and the only one who can really show us and teach us what the Word of God means is God. Again, the verse says, for what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of a man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Can I just encourage you in this? When you come to the Word of God, beg the Lord to teach you it. There's a reason why there's literally thousands of different religions and denominations based off the Bible. How is it that so many people can come to one doctrine, to one passage, and get so many different interpretations of it? Is it because God's teaching everyone different doctrines? No. Because too many people, I believe, are teaching themselves and not pleading and begging to the Lord to teach them the Word of God. So can I just encourage you in that, to beg the Lord to teach you it, to have this type of a humble mindset where I have not apprehended, there's nothing special about me. Lord, I need you to teach me this. Please help me. Please help me to grow more. So we must have a humble mindset. James chapter 4, verse 6 says this, "But he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble." Verse 10 says this, "Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up." You can have someone who has all the skill in the world, they have all the intellect, the experience, but they're proud about it. And the Bible says God's going to resist that person. It says, God resists the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. And likewise, you can have this person, and there's nothing special about them, and they realize that, and therefore they cling to the Lord to help them. The Bible says God's going to give that person grace. Can I just encourage you to have this type of a mindset? Notice with me, secondly, a hard-working mindset. Verse 13 again says this, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before." I believe one of the biggest hindrances to simply pressing forward for Christ every day is laziness. I mean, it's hard to every day have this mindset. How can I grow today? How can I learn more from the Word of God? It's easy to just come and just read, skim right through the Word of God, and then mark it off your checklist and be done. That's easy. I'm glad you did that, but it's harder to say, you know what? I'm going to pay attention. I'm going to focus. I'm going to study the Word of God this morning. I'm going to spend some time before I do this asking the Lord to help me. That takes hard work. To every day to be like, Lord, I want to grow for you today. I want to be a better believer for you today. Would you help me to do that? To seek to grow every day is hard. Now, when we look at the life of Paul, again, he's the one that wrote this, we find a man who is just such an example of someone that has a hard-working mindset. And what I want you to notice is first of all, everything Paul has already done for Christ, okay? When we think about all of the good things Paul has already done for Christ, Paul has started churches everywhere. Paul has led so many people to the Lord and discipled so many people. The Bible says that he was a tent maker while doing all this, meaning he worked to provide for his needs. Paul pretty much had to walk everywhere he went. I'm thankful I have a vehicle. I get to drive from here to Moab because it sure would be a long time for me to have to walk, okay? Well, Paul had to walk most everywhere he went. And so Paul did a lot for the Lord. And when we combine it with the fact that Paul had gone through so much for the Lord, it really shows us how hard of a working mindset Paul had. Here's what 2 Corinthians 11 23 through 28 says, okay? Paul says, "Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent." Get this, "in deaths often." Apparently he died a couple times. "Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one." What that means is on 5 different occasions, he was scourged 39 times. "Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep, in journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness, besides those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches." Did you hear everything he went through? Paul went through a lot. I bet you when this man woke up in the morning, I bet when he slept, he was in pain. And when he woke up, he was in pain. Everywhere he walked, he was in pain. I bet everything that this man did had this just extra level of difficulty. But yet what we find closer towards the end of his life is Paul saying, "I forget those things which are behind and I reach forth unto those things which are before." Though Paul had already done so much for the Lord, okay? Probably more than anyone. And though Paul had gone through so much for the Lord, he probably was in more pain than anyone else. every day he still chose to press forward for Christ. None of those other things matter. He's just going to keep pressing forward for Christ today. Can I just say, Paul had a hardworking mindset. He wasn't content with what he had already done. He wanted to do more for Christ. Can I just encourage you to have this type of a mindset, a hardworking mindset that looks past the pain, that looks past the things that have already been done, and looks towards what more that you can or what I can do for the Lord. Can I encourage you to have that type of a mindset? And then notice with me, lastly, Paul had a heavenly mindset. Verse 14 says this, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Now it doesn't say, I press toward the mark for the prize of the low calling of God. Okay, it's not a low calling, it's a high calling. Nor does it say, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of man. It doesn't say that. It's a high calling of God that's in Christ Jesus. Did you know someday all of our works which we have done on this earth will be tried by the fire of God? The Bible describes the things which we have done for the Lord as gold, silver, and precious stones. Things that when you throw in a fire, you know, they don't burn up. They're still there. Well, those things which you've done for the Lord, those things are gold, silver, and precious stones. But the works which you've done here on this earth, which were for yourself, the Bible describes as wood, hay, and stubble. Things that when you throw in a fire, those things burn up. You're not going to have those anymore. Can I encourage you to have a heavenly mindset and store up treasures in heaven? Matthew 6:21 says this, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Years ago when I was at that college, at Snow College, trying to get that degree. Believe it or not, I was actually initially there out of a earthly, fleshly, temporal mindset. And the reason is because I knew the Lord didn't want me to go there. I knew before then that he actually wanted me to go into full-time ministry. I'd actually made a commitment to him. I'd gone to a youth conference 2 to 2 years in a row and felt the Lord leading me to go into full-time ministry. But then I'd come back to Moab. And, you know, I'd get back into the regular things that I was doing before, and that desire would just start to get watered down. It started to kind of go away. And so for 2 years in a row, that happened to me. I'd come back to Moab, and I no longer want to go into full-time ministry. So by the time high school was ending and I needed to figure out what I was going to do, I decided, you know, I'm going to go to Snow College, and I'm just going to get this degree in architecture and carpentry so that I can make lots of money. Okay, that's what I wanted to do initially. And so I had initially gone there out of an earthly, temporal, fleshly mindset. Now, anyone can go and get a degree in art and become an architect or carpenter, and they could be doing it for the Lord, you know, if they're using that for the Lord. They know that's what the Lord wants. I knew this wasn't what the Lord wanted me to do, nor was I going to really use it for him. Well, Paul said that he was pressing toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I was pressing toward the mark for the prize of a wasted life. And that's all that this world can ever offer you. If you choose to just continue to do the will of this world and of your flesh, you're going to reap a wasted life. If I just keep choosing to do what I want to do, I'm not going to have anything to show for it. But if you choose to do what you do, I mean, wherever you're at, wherever you work, you choose to do that for the Lord will reward you for that. Now, I don't know if it's because of my past as an atheist, but today, knowing that I get to serve the God of heaven, I get to do things for him and it lasts for eternity, to me, it brings me so much joy and peace and satisfaction and contentment. And really, those words don't even fully describe it. I mean, just think about my past. As an atheist, your life is pointless. Now, you never want to admit that as an atheist, but you know that that's true because someday you're just going to die and cease to exist, okay? And likewise, everyone you know is just going to die and cease to exist. So anytime I ever did good to someone, it was out of just a reaction. I didn't think about it, or it was still to benefit myself. I remember one time I was at a gas station, and a guy jumped in his vehicle, and his wallet fell out. And instinctively, I just went up and, oh, sir, you dropped your wallet, and I handed it to him. And I turned around, and I thought, what did I just do? Should have kept that. That was my thought as an atheist. And so anytime I did good, it was really purposeless. And so again, I don't know if it's because of my past as an atheist, but today knowing that I get to serve the God of heaven, I can have a purpose in life. There's nothing greater than that. When I get to study the Word of God and then I get to teach people it, there's nothing better than that. When I can go and I can share the gospel with someone and they trust Christ as their Savior and I know that they'll be in heaven for eternity, there's nothing better than that. When I get to serve the Lord, there's nothing that compares to that. Again, it just brings me so much joy and peace and satisfaction and contentment. And when I think about how Christ, the God of all of creation, went and died on the cross for me, you know, it helps me so much more to be able to just give him everything. Whatever difficulty comes, whatever hardship comes, look what Christ went through. Christ being God, look what he went through. I mean, can you imagine if, I don't know, someone, a billionaire or some president, stepped in front of a bullet for me? I'd be like, what? Why would you do that? The God of all creation went on the cross for me. And because of that, I ought to serve him for the rest of my life. So can I just encourage you to have a heavenly mindset, a mindset that looks to Christ, that looks to what he did, that looks to the future and not the present, doesn't look inward at our flesh, but looks to Christ. Have a heavenly mindset. It's so important for believers to keep pressing forward for Christ. Can I just encourage you to do that? Don't become idle. Don't become backsliding, but be hardworking for him. Have a humble mindset. God's going to resist us if we're not humble. And have a heavenly mindset. You must come to the Lord in prayer. You must be doing things for him. Can I just encourage you to do that? Because again, you know, I'm just seeing a lot of quitting. I see a lot of churches closing the door and I just don't want to see anymore. And I want to see this church continue for the next, till the rest of my life. And so can I just encourage you to keep pressing forward for Christ? Let's close in a word of prayer. Father, thank you again for this day. Thank you for your word, for the life of Paul, and just how much of a servant he was of you, how much of an example he is to us. And I just pray, Lord, that we would seek to pattern our life after him as he patterned it after Christ. Help us to live better for you, to never have a proud mindset that thinks that we don't really need to worry about growing or learning or serving or any of these things, but help us to keep pressing forward for you every day. And because of that, help us to never quit on what we know you want us to do. Lord, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.